everyone. Welcome to a fresh edition of a Blackhawks Crazy podcast coming to you at the United Center Wednesday night following a very disappointing 6-0 home preseason loss to the Washington Capitals before the Blackhawks board a plane, a very big plane, to go on a very big trip overseas to wrap up the exhibition slate and then open the regular season. It's Chris Bowden, your pre- and post-game host on WGN Radio, and the Chelsea blogger, NHL.com correspondent, Scott King, as usual, your dynamic duo. Well, that's subject to debate, but what's not subject to debate, Scott, unfortunately, was the way this preseason game went against the Washington Capitals. And when you look at all three home games, there wasn't a whole lot of offense from the Blackhawks, and particularly in this last game against Washington, it was the game we saw probably the least amount of offensive flow and maybe even more disappointing, far less urgency than what this Washington team came in with, and particularly in terms of net front presence, not only offensively but defensively, because the Capitals did a great job of clogging things up. Corey Crawford charged with 6 goals against. I would bet 4 or 5 of those he really didn't have much a chance on, but I have trouble thinking of one player who had a good game. And when you're this late in the preseason and this close to Jeremy Colleton needing to make some final calls, not only on the roster but how he, you know, pairs lines up, pairs, you know, defensemen up, it's a little concerning and not the way you wanted to head overseas on this note.
Yeah, Jeremy Colleton was again asked specifically about Nylander, and he said that he had to play better away from the puck. Again, something we've mentioned a few times on the podcast, despite him looking very skilled offensively on that top line. And I said, you know what, the rest of the entire team had to play better away from the puck as well tonight. And then he was kind of asked to follow up at the postgame presser, you know, did anyone have a good game? And he said consistently through all 60 minutes, no. So he didn't think anyone really gave the full 60-minute effort tonight. I don't know if it's effort or energy. They have a 9-hour flight tomorrow. Maybe they're saving a little bit for that. They know it's going to be a draining trip, but it's also going to build some team chemistry. And like you said, Crawford did not have a chance on a lot of those, and he has looked pretty good. He's looked like Corey Crawford in this preseason. So that kind of was an indication, I think, allowing 6 goals against, of how the D played, of the team's energy overall.
Yeah, and we'll hear from Jeremy Colleton some of those comments in his postgame press conference in just a moment. When you look at the score sheet, only 2 players did not finish minus of everyone on the Blackhawks score sheet amongst all the skaters. Dominic Kubalik, who finished with a team-high 5 shots on goal, and David Kampf, his line mate, they were both a 0, even. Everyone else was at least a -1, ranging down to a -3. And we mentioned Kubalik had 5 shots on goal. These newly constructed top 2 lines that Jeremy wanted to check out and see, moving Kane with DeBrincat and Strom, and then having Kajula up with Nylander and Taves, that Strom-Kane-DeBrincat line combined for 3 shots, all of them from Kane. I believe 2 of those were on the power play. And that other line with Taves as well as Nylander and Kajula, Taves had the only 2 shots on that line. So your top 2 lines generate just 5 shots going up against, except for John Carlson, not a very impressive Capitals group that you expect to see on opening night 1 week from now in St. Louis as the two Stanley Cup finals, last 2 Stanley Cup champions, match up against each other. That kind of adds to the disappointment, because just when it seemed Jeremy Colleton may have been finding some answers on who to pair with who, things really took a step back here on Wednesday night. And you don't want to go, the deeper you're going in the preseason, you don't want a higher amount of questions. And unfortunately, I think that's what Jeremy Colleton's faced with here.
Yeah, and you look at DeBrincat, Strom, and Kane defensively, too, each a -3. So a bad game overall for those guys, I'm sure they would tell you that. And, you know, some people were commenting that Washington had, you know, like a starting lineup, like their main guys. So had the Hawks. The Hawks. This could be very close, if not the opening night roster, bearing an injury or two. So yeah, it's just that the effort wasn't there, and you do not want to see that kind of effort or productivity from your top two lines, because those were guys that have played well. Those are guys that you think might be together for opening night.
You don't want to put too much emphasis on a preseason game. It is preseason, and different guys react in various ways to the way they can get up for it, and you hope this is the aberration. But this team hasn't been good enough the last couple of years, as Troy pointed out in our radio postgame show, to just flip a switch. You can't do that. But at least in terms of urgency, there has to be a whole lot more. So I'm really curious to see how this team reacts going up against a team that they know absolutely nothing about in enemy territory, so to speak, but in Berlin against this German team, and see how much better they can be, because they certainly need to build some momentum going into that regular season opener a week from Friday against the Philadelphia Flyers. We said we'd hear a little bit more from the head coach, Jeremy Carlton. Here he is after the 6-0 loss.
Not the performance we wanted to have, that's for sure. Going to have to sit on it for a couple days, which no fun. But, you know, we got to try to take something from it, and I think they're a professional team. They came in and they brought a pretty strong lineup, and they do a lot of little things that add up to winning. You know, there wasn't much going on either way in the first two periods, but they manufactured some things. So they went to the net, they screen our goalie, they get pucks through, and we didn't do those things. So they manufacture a 4-0 lead. I don't think it was a 4-0 game at that point. But, you know, ultimately, you got to do those things if you want to win. So, you know, the third, they had much more of the play. We didn't generate anything at all, and it's sour taste. But, you know, we weren't it's you're not just going to steadily improve every day. You're going to have some steps back, even if you don't want to. And that's what tonight was.
Were you concerned with the energy level overall tonight, especially getting close to the regular season?
Well, we didn't have it. You know, that's, you could tell. We couldn't sustain it. We have a shift here or there where we got going, found a way to get a forecheck, force a turnover. You know, the power play took momentum from us as opposed to building with it. You know, on another night, usually we'd have a good shift, draw a penalty, score on the power play, and then everyone's buzzing, feeling good about themselves, and it was the opposite tonight. So, I'm not concerned that that's going to lead into the season. I just think tonight guys had a tough time getting going, and that's not what we want, and it's not an excuse, just that's the reality of it.
With the flight to Germany tomorrow, is it subconscious or otherwise, maybe a couple of players might have their mind on it too much?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's regardless, today was a game where we could use it to prepare for the season, and I think we left something on the table, and we'll try to learn from that too, but not how we drew it up.
In a game like tonight, you can do the same thing in game to kind of spark something that you wouldn't.
No, I think you do some things, but at the same time, we're not going to try not to grind anyone down as far as overplaying them. We still want to get a look at everyone. You know, situationally, like for instance, on the penalty kill, yeah, the guys who went are the guys who are going to go probably during the season, so you maybe use that opportunity, but at some point, just trying to play four lines and gain something out of it, just good habits. And, you know, we did that at times, but certainly nothing sustained.
It seemed like Gustafson had a tough night. Did you want to give Adam a look there in the third period?
Yeah, we wanted to play him a little more. I think he had his moments where he was really good, and then he had his moments where he was, struggled defensively. But he fit right in with the rest of the team. So he's doing well.
How do you think Nylander looked tonight away from
him? Again, probably fit in with the rest of the group. He had his moments where he would make a good read, and then had his moments where we'd like a different one. Thought he made some plays, he carried the puck, but I think the whole group just had a hard time stringing shifts together that where we had good habits.
I've asked you this every time, but was there anyone that was good in your opinion?
Consistently over 60? Probably not. So just leave it there.
Jeremy Colleton, none too pleased after the 6-0 loss to Washington Capitals, and only a couple guys I know talked in the locker room that you stepped into after this loss. Jonathan Toews, the captain, being one of them, as he usually is after losses like this, when not a lot of guys are in the mood to talk. But when he did speak, he wasn't very happy with what he was a part of or saw out there in this last piece of home action before it all starts for real, was it?
No, and I was the first one to ask him the question. I just asked if you allow yourself to kind of feel the result of a bad loss, a bad shutout like that in the preseason, because it's not the regular season. And he said, yeah, you know, they'll feel it, but they'll also kind of brush it off. And at the same time, this is his quote now, that's got to be a wake-up call. It's good that happens now so we can wake up and get going, get our speed, get our legs going, and start playing with a little more energy, a little more just wanting the puck in certain areas. So it should be a wake-up call for them.
And hopefully it is, because time runs out after Sunday's game in Berlin. Also going to play a little bit of Stan Bowman, who met the media on Wednesday morning after the morning skate, a last chance for Chicago reporters who won't be traveling to talk to him ahead of the start of the regular season, which, of course, is in Prague. That's coming up in a few minutes. Before we go to him, though, just wanted to update a little bit of the injury situation, too, because a couple of, you know, concerns have popped up. The Blackhawks are saying in each case it's nothing serious, that they don't believe it to be anything serious or long-term. Robin Lehner leaving practice on Tuesday before it was over with a hip problem. He is traveling to Prague. They were planning on traveling three goalies anyway, so Colin Dealey will be part of that mix in the event Robin Lehner is not ready to go for whatever reason. Zach Smith, he practiced on Tuesday, woke up and his back was a little bit cranky. They don't expect that to be anything long-term. Connor Murphy did something, I believe, lower body both Tuesday and then tried to skate on Wednesday, cut things short. He wasn't going to play anyway. Neither was Smith in this Wednesday game. And I believe that's it. Calvin DeHaan, he isn't expecting to go at the start of the season either, more for a groin injury than the shoulder surgery that he had. And John Quenneville, still recovering from a hip injury of his own. So the Blackhawks were going to be allowed to take extra players overseas, and once they play that preseason game in Berlin, they'll review who they think will be healthy. They'll have to get down to the 23-man limit after that, cut a couple of guys off the active roster at that point. But you don't like to see these nagging little things, and hopefully it's short-term, because the last thing you want to do is start the regular season a little bit shorthanded from the guys that you're relying on. Let's hear now from the Vice President and General Manager, Stan Bowman. Speaking of injuries, he talks about a number of topics here, starting with Kirby Dach's status, and he is going to go on that trip. Among the other things you'll hear from, almost 9 minutes of Stan Bowman here on Wednesday morning, in order, what he has seen in almost 2 weeks of training camp here as they get set to travel overseas, what he's thought of Adam Boqvist's camp. And it was a very quiet game by Adam Boqvist along with everybody else on Wednesday. The intangibles that this trip can provide, this first camp under Jeremy Colleton, his thoughts on Alex Nylander, who, again, has not been as noticeable the last couple of preseason games after playing with Jonathan Toews, despite playing with Jonathan Toews over the entire course of the preseason. The possibility of late trades, Stan has also asked about, also his observations on how the restricted free agent market has played out to this point, which is interesting when you dive into what he has to be concerned about with DeBrincat and Strome. But again, Stan Bowman at first here, talking about Kirby Dach's status and kind of mental state after having to sit out training camp, except for individual skates prior to Wednesday morning.
Kirby's going to come to Europe with us.
It's okay.
Yes. Unlikely he'll be ready to play in the games, but the next step is for him to get into practice, and he's close. So I think at this point it makes sense to bring him with us, and then we'll have a better feel for when he's ready for a game, but not likely to play in either game. But it's a good step. I mean, he's making progress. He's just been off the ice for a couple of weeks, so it's going to take some time to be ready to play a game.
So you do want to get him into an NHL game here whenever he is ready? Or?
Well, we're not at that point yet. Let's get him ready to when he could play, and then we'll make that decision. But it's going in the right direction.
How are his spirits during this process? Because it's probably tough for him.
Yeah, well, I think I'll let him talk about that. But I talked to him a couple times, even earlier today, and I think it's better when you're close to practicing. I mean, as a player, when you're injured, it's frustrating. You want to play, and skating by yourself is better than not skating, but you want to be with the team. So we're getting closer. I think he's happy that he's, you know, close to being back with the group and on the ice.
Are you encouraged with what you're seeing, the product come on the ice, all the guys getting together, and how it's translating and going into the season?
Yeah, you know, we've seen some good things. I think it's a process, but I like the way the process has played out. I think our players are they've had enough time to get acclimated to what we want to do as a group. They've shown great, you know, effort in trying to play the right way. Doesn't always come out right in the games, but I think there's a purpose to their game and practice, and competitiveness has been there. It's been a pretty tough camp. I think, you know, they've gone very hard. They've given great effort, so I like that. We're starting to see some chemistry on the ice with some groups. Not everybody's there yet, but I think, you know, we got two more games before our season opens, so two more chances for guys to become familiar, and we'll have some practices as well. So I think it's trending in the right direction.
How would you assess Boquist's development and where he's
at? Adam has shown progress just looking back to where he was a year ago and to where he is now. I think for him, the question has never been the talent level or the offensive ability. When he's got the puck, he can do some pretty special things. He's got a unique skill set to be able to complement the offensive players and do things with the puck. So the question was just, you know, how is he going to be when he doesn't have it? I think he's really made some strides. You know, last year I think was a big year for him to play on one team the whole year. And, you know, by the end of the year in London, he was top go-to guy. They used him in a lot of situations. And seeing him here, you can see that in his game. You know, I like the way he's played. I think he's had a good camp, and that's the reason he's still here. He's deserving to be here. So, you know, where it goes, and, you know, we need him to play. So if he's going to be playing in Chicago, that's great. But if not, then I think, you know, Rockford's a good spot for him. So, but his progression's been noticeable. And I think he hasn't arrived yet, and it's going to be a process to get him comfortable defending and playing without the puck. He's such a good skater, though, that, you know, he can influence the play. And, you know, the biggest thing for a defenseman is if you have a good gap, you can force the other team to do things quick. You know, when you back in a lot, then you give them a chance to make plays. So his quickness is noticeable, and he can use his feet to defend.
Stan, what do you think this trip can do for a team with a young head coach and some new faces that are getting acclimated?
We saw this back 10 years ago when we went to Europe, that we spent some time as a group, and I think at the time wasn't really focused on it, but we saw down the road how our team really was a close-knit group because we spent a lot of time together. You know, usually at the end of training camp, you have a couple games, and you don't spend as much time on your off days as a group, but that's the benefit, I think, of going to Europe is starting tomorrow, we're going to be together for, you know, 8 or 9 days straight, all their times away from the rink are going to be as a group. So we're looking forward to that, bringing this group together, and it should be a lot of fun.
How much have you seen Jeremy's, for lack of a better term, comfort level this year, just starting from the start with his team, with his systems, everything?
Yeah, I think coaching staff as well. I think we've got some new faces there that have helped, and I've seen a comfort level that I wouldn't say it wasn't there last year. It's just there's more time now. That's the biggest thing. The coaches spent a lot of time this summer preparing how this camp was going to roll out, how they wanted to play as a team, how we could make that happen, and watching them, you know, watching it take place in practice and before practice, and the teaching that's gone on. It's been fun to see. I think there's an excitement. There's a freshness to the group. I think having some new coaches as well is good for the guys. You know, they can add something to the mix, and, you know, one-on-one work with a player or working with a line, you know, it's been good, and I think it's been energizing for everybody.
No games have been played, obviously, but Alex Nylander seems to be doing what you guys wanted him to do in camp. What have you thought about where he is and what he needed to do when he arrived?
Yeah, I think Alex has had a good camp. I think, you know, his talent level's so high, so it's, there's no question what he can do. He's a powerful kid. He's strong, big, you know, almost 200 pounds, but he's got skill and he's got speed. So that's a very impressive collection of talents. But you got to be able to do something in the game with it. I think he's had a purpose to his game, which is what I've noticed so far. And I think, you know, with young players, they've got to become. That's got to become the standard every night. I think we've seen him do it. Now we need him to sustain it, you know, as far as the details. Like, when he has the puck, he's got a lot of natural talent, which he can do things that you don't have to coach. Just let him play on instinct. It's, you know, when they don't have the puck, how do they do with forechecking, backchecking, making sure we get the puck back, being in the right position? And I think he's been a pretty quick study in that. But like a lot of young players, that's a process to become an automatic, and I think you know, we're going to have to stay with him and work with him to do that. But you can see the ability there, and you know, you want him to have the puck when he's on the ice because he does a lot of really good things with it, things that other players aren't able to do. So the thing is just earning the coach's trust so that he can be utilized, and so far he's been able to do that. But you know, it's a long process. It's got to become a habit for him, and I think he's certainly trending the right way.
Any chance we'll see you explore any trade venues as you make final cuts and other teams make final cuts, or pretty content with this group?
Well, potentially, if they come along. Our focus isn't trying to acquire players, yeah. But, you know, sometimes at this time of the year, other teams are looking around for areas that have been, you know, weaknesses in their team. So nothing's imminent, but it doesn't mean something can't happen quick.
Are you surprised about seeing more bridge deals around the league that are getting done this year or in the past offseason?
No, I'm not surprised by that. It's sort of a function of where the team is at. I mean, some teams, it makes more sense given the backdrop of the players they have signed and the cap space they have. Other teams, you know, have more flexibility. So I think when that happens, you see the longer term deal at a higher number. So, I mean, the bridge deals that have signed the last week or so, they've all fit into their team's salary structure and helped them go forward. So I think that's why it's happening now. And there's a lot of factors that go in. It's hard to really make a parallel between one team and another because their circumstances are a little bit different. So, but watching what's happened, I can't say I'm surprised it's gone that way.
I found it very interesting that even though Alex Nylander was having a pretty good training camp in preseason while, as we mentioned, being paired with Jonathan Toews or skating with him, things have quieted down. And Stan obviously wants Alex Nylander to be good after that trade with Buffalo for Henry Jokiharju. They're counting on him finding his game that he's capable of right here, but he was still very reserved when he talked about, yes, we shouldn't get too excited yet. We want to see if, you know, what he has been doing continues to grow. Anything else out of what Stan said that particularly stood out to you?
Well, yeah, with Nylander, he said he's been a quick study on D, but he's also got to kind of go through the motions of earning the coach's trust to be utilized, is what he said. So, you know, kind of echoing what Colleton has been telling us. And with Boqvist, it's always interesting to hear what Bowman says about him. He's thinks he's improved on D, but kind of like we know, he's either going to be playing here in Rockford because Bowman really wants him playing. He noted that the trip to Europe, just like in 2010, would be great for team bonding, team chemistry. I think that's something that's kind of invaluable when you got some moving parts, some new guys. And also on Kirby Dach, and this is something we're going to get to more later. I think a listener asked about it, but asking if, I think it was Tracy, asked him if Dach will get an NHL game when he's ready. And we'll touch on it more, but I think he will whenever he's ready.
Yeah, that's what Stan said, that I think they want to see him in game action. Unfortunately, they won't have that opportunity in games that don't count, but they want to see how he can perform. So I think that minimum 9-game right. You know, window, I think we can expect at least some of that to be utilized. Troy and I were talking about. Well, tell you what, we'll get into that as part
I'll
of
just add that Stan didn't really give an answer to it. But I'm just saying my own opinion that I think he will.
Yeah, and before we get to our questions from our listeners, and we've started this new thing last week, and we got it out a little bit earlier today. We did get some questions out. We'll go over the details in a second. Some of the other things that he discussed there, late trades, kind of downplaying the likelihood of that. They want to see what this group that they have brought together over the course of the offseason can do. But one late trade that was made that affects the Hawks within the division is St. Louis getting even stronger on their blue line by acquiring Justin Falk. Now, the contract, 7 years times 6.5, that's a pretty rich piece of the pie right there, especially for a guy his age and as you go further into the contract. No question what he can produce, and that right side for St. Louis is going to have Pietrangelo, Parayko, and now Justin Falk. So that's interesting, and you only give up Carl Gunnarsson in return. You can make trades with Carolina, with Tom Dundon in there.
You can. Look, he's a guy that I think he was on the Hawks radar, Falk, right? Or at least
a year or so.
Yeah, that's a guy.
We were speculating that. Maybe it was wishful.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed right. But look, 27, he's a guy that would improve any D. But, and I threw some plus-minus stats out there earlier, plus-minus don't seem to mean much anymore to anybody. You're talking 45 million, 6.5 average over 7 years. The guy's minus 100 on his career.
Yeah, the defensive metrics, and I think if there was any interest by the Blackhawks, I think that scared them away. Yeah. And this was before Eric Gustafson blew up last year too. They didn't know what they were going to get from Eric Gustafson, 17 goals and 60 points. So that kind of reduced the desire or necessity to go look for an offensive defenseman after what Eric Gustafson gave you, at least one to bridge between last year and whenever Adam Boqvist was ready. The other thing, his observations on the RFA market, of course, he is to keep an eye on how this is all played out with DeBrincat and Strome coming up as restricted free agents after this season. And it has been interesting, as you heard, I think Pat Boyle asked the question about they've been more bridge contracts that they're giving some of these players rather than the long term, except for Mitch Marner getting 6 years at $10.9 million per. Braden Point is 3 years, and I think it's a bargain for Tampa Bay to get him at $6.25. This is a 40-goal scorer last season. So 3 years, $18.75 for Braden Point. 3 years, $17.7 million for Brock Besser. That averages out to about $5.9 million. Matthew Tkachuk, earlier on Wednesday, $7 million a year over 3 years. 3 years, $21 million. And I think our friend Jimmy Greenfield from the Tribune compared numbers over 2 years, total numbers over 2 years from Matthew Tkachuk compared to the fact that Alex DeBrincat, I correct that, Tkachuk 3 years versus DeBrincat's 2 years, and DeBrincat is very favorable statistically. So if Tkachuk is getting $7 million a year, it makes you wonder what Alex DeBrincat could potentially get with another strong season here. So the Rantanens, the Laines, and the Connors are still out there. But again, four of those five guys that were restricted and came to terms had 3 years deals. Mitch Marner had a 6-year deal. And as we're taping this podcast, we do have some news on roster moves, and apparently Adam Boqvist will not be going to overseas with the Blackhawks, because after this game on Wednesday night, Alexi Sorella, who was acquired along with Calvin DeHaan, that deal with Carolina for Anton Forsberg and Gustav Forsling, and defenseman Adam Boqvist were sent back to Rockford. So that's very interesting. Adam Boqvist will not get that trip. And yeah, I think the last couple of preseason games, after some wow plays, kind of came back a little bit, and I think this is probably the right move going to do him good, with the exception of potentially playing him in Berlin in that game. But to be quite honest, all those Rockford guys are going to Boston for a game on Saturday. It's basically going to be the IceHogs versus the Bruins there, so he'll get a chance there and continue developing his game. So that's very interesting. Thanks for pointing that out on the fly here, Scott, as the emails come in. Okay, so we mentioned this last time. We put it out on Wednesday afternoon. We want your questions. We want your involvement in the podcast. We want you to be a part and share this podcast with us. So we asked you to fire some questions at us, either using the hashtag Slapshots on Twitter, or you can add us on Twitter with your questions. And what we forgot to really plug, which actually ended up going over into our Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page with some questions in there as well. But let's get to some of these questions. Thank you for everyone who participated. We encourage more. If you want to repeat it in every podcast we do to hear your name mentioned or whatever, feel free if you have questions for us. So among our questions here, let's start with Heather, who tweeted at us our impressions of Keith and Seabrook in the preseason. And Heather, I thought Duncan Keith is at an overall solid preseason. And let's also remember, he is the guy who is often been paired with an Eric Gustafson or an Adam Boqvist, the guy who can be the defensive safety valve there. I think Brent Seabrook and Olli Maatta together, obviously they have their detractors in terms of foot speed. Up until this game against Washington, statistically they were very good, but they were also not necessarily going up against the strongest opponents who didn't bring their A-team, so to speak. Washington was a little different with the forward group that they brought here, and I think we saw some damage on this night as both of them were minus two. And granted, they weren't the only ones. So now I'll be interested to see, especially once Calvin DeHaan is ready to go, whether Maatta Seabrook continues to be a thing or he looks at some other combinations as well while, you know, factoring in Connor Murphy to the equation too. So, Scott, I don't know. In my mind, Duncan Keith was Duncan Keith. Real solid all preseason. Seabrook, a wait and see to find out whether this is a permanent marriage with Olli Maatta.
Yeah, we'll see who he's with. I thought he was okay. I noticed him making some good plays. Keith, yeah, pretty solid. But I think he will thrive more if he's put in a situation where he's not having to be as much of a teacher or bailing guys out on D like you kind of alluded to. So we'll see who he's paired with as well.
Another question on Twitter. Liam asked us, how many games do we think Adam Boqvist and games Adam Dock get at the NHL level this season? So obviously Boqvist isn't tied into that. There was another similar question that we got on the Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page about Dock.
Yeah, Mark Bavan, hope I'm saying that right. Mark, will Kirby Dock see some meaningful ice time for the Hawks? Similar. Yeah.
So my thoughts on this is in the I'm kind of going on a ledge here because you heard Stan Bowman say what he did, and no insider knowledge on this. I'm just guessing. But based on how they've brought Kirby along and based on the way he was performing in the offseason, talked about this with Troy in the postgame show, Kirby Dock would provide an element that is lacking on this roster right now. He's only 18 years old, and we got to keep that in mind. But
he just had a concussion. You got to keep that in mind, too.
But he already has an NHL body. And when you think about wanting to balance offensive production, not only from what the top line and the second line should be, no matter what their makeup is, but also trying to get, say, in this case, what it's been the last couple of games, Saad and Kubalik on the wings between either David Kampf or Anton Vedin. Would they get more production out of Kirby Dock being in the middle right there? And I think they could, at least initially. Now, how Kirby would hold up under this experiment, but I sense that, you know, they like David Kampf, but if you really want some offensive production, is he really going to provide that to you? Could Kirby provide a little bit more? I think so, but then the whole equation becomes whether this kid could go through the entire grind of an NHL season. Body-wise, he can. Mentally, it's a little different because his offseason was crazy, too, being drafted this year. And in terms of Adam Boqvist, I think they'd like to see him get a nice long chunk of time. Now, this could go completely the other way, where they send Dock back to Saskatoon another year of the juniors, and Boqvist eventually comes up. But I think initially, Kirby Dock is going to get a serious look when they come back home, provided he is cleared and ready to go for the 7-game homestand. They're going to utilize him and see what he can do at the NHL level. I think they just feel bad they didn't get a chance to see this in the games that don't count.
They would like to have him go through training camp for sure. I think he plays. I think he plays when he's cleared, because if he can play beyond his years where he's at, in terms of the league, being 18-year-old in the league. Then you're getting a two-way center, a guy who can win faceoffs, a guy who's very skilled and quick and strong on the puck. So you get everything from him if he can just kind of play at the NHL level with his skill set. So there's that, and then there's the rule where they can play him in 9 games. You get to see what this kid can do in 9 games before you burn a year of his contract. And that's huge. They're just going to say, why not? You know, begin the season, see what he can do. Yeah. Might be able to use him.
Yeah, and let's face it, the other thing about this performance tonight, you go into this opening month of the season after you come back from Prague with 7 consecutive home games. Man, you cannot fall on your face coming out of the gate here when you have that opportunity, even though they're not happy with 7 straight to out of the box to begin with after coming back. I think we had a couple of other questions on the Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page.
Yeah, we talked about Nylander. Ryan Saunders, a friend of the show, has asked, do you guys think Nylander stays on the top line? We talked about this a little bit. I think he will, at least for a while. Jeremy really seems to like him here. As much as they talk about his play away from the puck and that needing to improve, he's still there. And for the most part in preseason, he's made a lot of good plays there.
Yeah, and started out really well, quieted down, as we mentioned a couple of minutes ago. And I think the bigger decision offensively for Jeremy here is whether – after what he saw on Wednesday night with Kane and Stroman to Brinkett, which you look at those three, it's a ton of potential and firepower there. But in the name of balance, would you say, okay, well, let's go back to what we originally thought. Shaw with DeBrinket and Strome, Kane back up with Nylander and Taves. I'm curious to wonder if he goes back to that. Whatever fourth-line combination up until Wednesday night has worked well together, be it Kajula, Carpenter, and Smith were the main guys in that game against Boston. They were probably their best line overall. And then trying to figure out what to do with that third line, the Sods and Kubalik's. And who knows, maybe Jeremy comes up with a combination where he instead bumps Kubalik up to one of the top two lines too. But I definitely think Nylander, at least out of the gate here, still gets his share of opportunities on the top couple of lines, and they'll give him a chance to either prove himself one way or another, prove that he can stay and hang with them, or prove that, you know, what we saw at the outset of the preseason hasn't been sustainable and he needs a little bit more seasoning. Anything else we got going on the queue?
Yeah, we got one more. Last but certainly not least, Paul Berry, who is a Hall of Fame fan of the Blackhawks Crazy
Podcast. Wait, what makes you a Hall of Fame fan?
He, from the time we started, asked more questions than any other fans. And they were very good questions, and
as long as they were good ones.
I believe he's a gentleman who moved to Florida and was still a huge Blackhawks fan.
Nice.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Paul. Somebody message that if that's wrong. I saw one projection of Shaw on the fourth line, Paul says. What's your take? Last year, Boston's fourth line was a force. Are we deep enough to hope for that? Look, you know, and when the Hawks beat Boston in 2013, when they beat the Lightning in 2015, their fourth line was deep, and Shaw was a big part of that a lot of the time. So we haven't seen enough out of these guys to see if they can roll fourth lines in the preseason. I think, you know, they're hoping that the chemistry and the productivity, whoever they put there, can get there. But I haven't seen enough yet to suggest that in a very small sample size to say fairly. And also, I'll say Shaw, you know, as much as people like him in the bottom six, and I do too, and he could play some center there. I like him also in the top six. I like him with Saad and Kane. You know, think about how much success they had in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think also based on what we saw Wednesday night here, when Shaw was the guy who at least did something to try and wake the team up with that one hit and a scrap afterwards, and you saw a little bit more jump out of the team. I think for those purposes and what we saw lacking in production from those top two lines or lacking in danger from those top two lines on Wednesday night, my opinion is Shaw gets bumped back up to one of those two lines because he provides an element where, you know, he's a guy who can go down and chase the puck and get in the dirty areas and provide that asset to one of those top two lines in order to get a little bit of puck possession. And I'm least concerned about the fourth line, and I don't think the fourth line necessarily needs Shaw. I think he'd be more important further up in the lineup, because I think Smith and Kajula and Carpenter would be just fine on a fourth line if that indeed ends up being the makeup of that fourth line. So we want to thank everybody for their questions. Again, we'll preview it again probably the day of the regular season opener against Philadelphia. Ask you to get involved by using the hashtag Slapshots on Twitter and adding us at Bowden Tweets and at Scott King Media, or you can ask the questions on the Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page as well. So that's a wrap. Our final get together before what will be our next podcast, and that will come following the regular season opener in Prague a week from Friday, October 4th, once that game is wrapped up. Scott and I will convene. We will brainstorm. We will get post-game reaction as well and give our thoughts to the opening 60 minutes or 60-plus minutes of action to this regular season, and hopefully get it out to you by the time you're driving home on that Friday afternoon, or at least to take into the weekend if we don't get around to it, or you get around to it by then. So look for that following the regular season opener next Friday, October 4th, against the Philadelphia Flyers. I'd also like to thank Curtis Koch, our producer, for gluing all this stuff together, as he always does. And we also encourage you to subscribe on iTunes if you haven't already. Leave a review. Tell your friends if you like the podcast. But again, if you subscribe, the Blackhawks Crazy podcast will be sitting there waiting for you whenever it becomes available. Remember to check out Scott's work as the Chelsea blogger on WGNRadio.com, as well as NHL.com, and various and sundry other escapades, be it Forbes or whatnot. And you will tell us about an important interview that you're doing the day of the opener, too, when we get around to that podcast. A little bit of surprise. So we'll leave people in suspense for that. Again, follow us along on our Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page at facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. You can ask the Slapshot and podcast questions on there, too. In the meantime, after a disappointing 6-0 loss to Washington to close out the home preseason slate and put the Blackhawks at 2-2-1, as well as some breaking news afterwards that Cirella and Boquist go down to Rockford, for Curtis Koch and Scott King, I'm Chris Bowden. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you a week from Friday.